All right, can we begin? So what is God Dreams? God Dreams was a process put into, kind of set in motion by the leadership, the elders of the church, over a year ago now. And what they were realizing is this church was a church plant, at that point 8 to 9 years old. And they said, okay, we were a baby church. We've been a baby church, and we've done really well, and we feel like we're fulfilling God's mission for us. But we also feel like, just like individuals need to grow and grow up and mature, that the church itself needed that. And so it was really intended to clarify, refocus, and maybe put some things into place that had not been put into place before. And so one of the things that the elders did was pray about who would be involved in that, how that would look. They wanted to raise other people up, get other people's input into the process. And they also realized that they needed help. And so they hired a consultant named Andrew Estes, who actually is an associate pastor, but he had undergone some very specialized training to lead churches through this process of visioning and refining what they are and who they are. So I'm going to read off the list of the God Dreams team so that you know who we all are. And in case you ever have questions about this process and you know kind of where all of this came from. So Caleb Hebert, who was up here worshiping, he's back at the soundboard now. Neil Larson, who usually sits about right there, he's on his honeymoon, so he's not with us today. I don't know why he chose to do that instead. Sherry Coop, who is on sabbatical and is not with us today. Thanks, Thad. Jeff Parkins, who is in the back with his hand raised. He's one of the elders. Katrina Cook. Are you here, Katrina? Katrina's right over here. Woo! Craig Aldridge. Raise your hand. Craig Aldridge, who's kind of in the middle, center, back. I like how I know where everybody sits. myself, Lauren Engel, who is the guy drumming today and doing communion. Are you here, Lauren? They might have had, oh my gosh, you moved. Can you do that? So Lauren is over there in the red shirt. Cindy Schroyer, who is over to my left, who will be my trusty assistant, Adam Coop, who is also on sabbatical at the moment, Craig Johnson, who is standing up in the back with the big old beard, and Chad Durr, who is in the back raising his hand. So that is, I think I got everybody. I think I got everybody. So that is the God Dreams team. So what we did is we went to this weekend-long kind of retreat hard work session. And here's what we were tasked with. Part of the process was to assess where we are as a church, to kind of look at our strengths and weaknesses, and just an overall assessment of who is Whitewater at this point. It was the idea to keep Whitewater growing, as I mentioned before, to include and bring more people into this process, to get other voices. I think that the people that were selected were specifically divinely selected as we watched the process unfold, and just what everybody brought to the table was amazing. To discover and refine our mission, and to make sure that everything we do today and going forward is in alignment with that mission. One of the coolest things that came out of that whole process is we were kind of scared going into it. thinking, what does this mean? Like, are we going to just like turn into something we're not? And so it was really cool to just see that God confirmed who we are as a people already, that what we have, our mission as we've known it is on track. And as we prayerfully considered all of our current and future activities, that we are who God made us to be. And all we need to do is really live in that and become better at that. So it was late April a year ago that we all did this thing. And I'd like you to view, can you show the hieroglyphic slide? What the end result, there you go. Okay, it took us 2.5 days to come up with that. by the end of today, you'll be reminded or for the first time know what this actually means, because there is a method to that madness, and we will kind of get back to that. If you'd show the shorthand version of that, this is what that is in words. And again, I will get back to that. And what I'm going to try to do for you today is I'm going to give you the big vision, and then we're going to talk about how we as a church are going to move into that vision, and then how we as individuals move in that vision. So I'd like Cindy to come out right now, if you would. What Cindy's going to read for you is called the Vivid Description. And the Vivid Description kind of just is the overarching dream that we feel like God gave us in this. It was crafted by several people. All of what I'm talking about today is not just me. It's been this collaborative process that we have brought the God Dreams team and other people in on. And it's amazing to get to be a part of it. So Cindy will give us the Vivid Description.
And I'm going to go off the grid for just a second. How many of you can read that? No? You know why? You're not sitting in the living room. Come on up here. Seriously, this is a family. We sit in the living room together, yes? So if you cannot read this and you need to know what this says, please feel free to move forward. Come in the pit if you want. We got a couple kids here that would like company. But seriously, come forward so you can read this stuff, okay? This is really important for us. Water. Over the past 10 years, this community of faith has founded its existence on the life-giving, cleansing, dangerous, and powerful nature of water. We've navigated the rapids of an adventurous life of faith together and drawn our very name from the experience. Now, as we look forward to the time when Whitewater Christian Church turns 16 in the year 2025, we're building on that vision and inviting you to join Jesus in the most daring call yet, to walk on water. Over these next 6 years leading up to that sweet 16 birthday celebration, we envision creating an atmosphere where spiritual formation results in leadership multiplication, which creates a cycle that feeds further spiritual formation and multiplication far into the future. To achieve that, we see 80% of the people who call Whitewater home acting on the call to get out of the boat. What does it mean to get out of the boat and walk on water? It will look like different things to different people. To those who are living lives on a stagnant, safe lake, walking on water is a call to adventure, demolishing the boundaries of comfort and safety to find abundant life in Jesus. To those who are being tossed about by violent waves in their lives, walking on water is an invitation to step into the uncertainty and pain and find Jesus right there in the midst of it. And to those who are feeling troubled or anxious, walking on water is a call to deeper experiences of faith and trust. While the specific acts of stepping out of the boat and walking on water will look different to each person, they will all share one thing in common. Getting out of the boat inherently requires action, movement. It's not enough to learn about walking on water or to agree that it's a good idea. Walking on water requires stepping over the side of the boat. And eventually, taking that step over the side into the water evolves into a single action of a new lifestyle. That new water walking lifestyle will likely require an upending of the way we do things, individually and communally, as we take greater risks of faith to meet Jesus on the waves. It is no wonder, then, that when Jesus called Peter onto the water, he did so with the admonition, "Take courage." And he is calling the same thing over the waves to Whitewater today. Specifically within the context of our faith community, by 2025, we envision walking on the water to look like 50 life transformation groups to be started so that 75% of our congregation can participate in them, knowing and being known by one another as you walk together, strengthened and challenged in deep community. We envision all ministry areas of the church having ministry leaders and an empowered staff of 100 total volunteers propelling the mission of Whitewater forward. We envision baptizing 100 people and having 300 people as part of our community, and having 3 full-time, fully funded pastors on staff to lead us. We envision unfolding an expression of this Whitewater DNA into everything we do, clearly communicating this vision as well as utilizing it to help define and discern what we do in the future. And as we envision identifying Whitewater's first church planter, someone for whom getting out of the boat means going somewhere with our blessing and our support, and starting a new community of people who are called to walk on the water. This call was founded in the original mission of Whitewater, to be a community that persistently moves the world close, 2 steps closer to Jesus. And it further moves that mission to the next level. It's a call to make your 2 next steps the 2 steps that will take you over the side of the boat. When you do, not if, when you do, not only will you deepen your experience with Jesus, but when your foot hits that water, it will send ripples outward that will affect many others as they are inspired to do the same thing, beginning that cycle of spiritual formation and leadership multiplication. Walking on water is not an end in and of itself. We walk on the water toward a specific destination, Jesus. And we do not do it just for the experience, but so after the experience, we are able to join the disciples on the waves and saying to Jesus in worship, "Truly, you are the Son of God." By Whitewater's 16th birthday in 2025, we envision being a faith community of people who walk on water, grabbing hold of and fulfilling God's dream for who we can become, how we can love the people around us, and how He can be glorified in us.
All right, so basically what this picture frame represents is what she just read, so it's not quite so scary. The very top section is the long-term goal, the overarching thing that influences how we behave and what we do. Spiritual formation that produces leadership multiplication that results in more spiritual formation, that leads to more leadership, that leads to more spiritual formation. And by leadership, we're not talking about necessarily formal leaders. We're talking about us as leaders in the kingdom. And that looks different, just like getting out of the boat looks different for each of us. Leadership looks different for each of us. The next layer down is what we envision by about 2022. Which was also part of the vivid description. We will, everything, the Whitewater DNA box there on the right, is everything we do will have be infused with our DNA. We joke about the music we do, that we Whitewaterize everything. Like, if we did a Chris Tomlin song, it wouldn't sound like Chris Tomlin. It'll sound like us. So that's what we mean by infusing everything we do with our DNA. Ministry leaders and volunteers in all areas, we've made huge progress in this area in the last year. People are really stepping up and getting to experience the blessing of serving. I would also add serving within our church body and also extending outward into service into the community. 50 LTGs. I want to make a comment about LTGs. The point for an LTG isn't that it's a checkbox or that you can feel really good about yourself because you're in an LTG. The point of LTGs is that those are supposed to teach us how to have transparent relationships, how to confess to each other, how to pray for other people. It's kind of a kindergarten for how what should be extending beyond just our LTG. I need to be transparent and have accountability with more than just two other people once a week. So the point of LTGs is that it's teaching us how we are to be in the kingdom with each other. Life transformation groups. Sorry, LTGs are life transformation groups, and that is what they are aimed at doing, transforming our lives. The other biggie is to identify our first church planter or church planters. Again, we are becoming increasingly outwardly focused, and I think I'll speak to that a little bit later. So the next bar on there, 80% out of the boat, that's at our 1 year. That was our 1 year goal. I don't know. Are you out of the boat? Have we achieved that? Raise a hand. You feel like from a year ago till today, do you feel like you have gotten out of the boat? High. Raise them high. Increasingly, have you made steps? Are you doing things differently? Have you taken risks that God has asked you to take? Are you interested in what He wants more than maybe what you want? I'm like a comfort deal, a comfort hound. Like, oh, I just want to be safe and comfortable. And getting out of the boat for me is really hard, as it is for all of us. But I know I've been watching. I've been so encouraged by watching what other people are doing. And getting to watch God move in your lives is incredible. So 80% out of the boat, that was our goal for right today. So how do we make all of this stuff happen? So the bottom tier is not a static thing. That was 90-day objective. So how we achieve this is we continually set new, smaller little goals. And that was our first set of goals. And I'm going to talk a little bit about them, and then I'm going to talk to you about where we are now and what our next goals are and what you're going to be seeing happen. So one of the first things that came out of that was the vivid description. And we wanted to recognize and thank Matt Coulter for really participating in that with us. It was really helpful and amazing to get to watch that process. So clarifying our vision, defining our measurables, I will get to that a little bit later, but that was just about us getting organized and figuring out what are we going to pay attention to as a body. The LTG training and multiplication. So we had several teachings here on life transformation groups. There was a live demo that was done of how to do a life transformation group. We had some recruiting activities in the gym, if you remember, trying to get people involved with life transformation groups. I would invite you to continue considering being in a life transformation group if you are not currently in one. And if you have questions about what that is, you can ask Craig Johnson, Caleb Hebert, Sherry Coop when she gets back. Almost any of the leadership here can answer, or anyone that's in a life transformation group could talk to you about what that means. But again, the point isn't the thing itself. It's what it's trying to teach us. And then the assimilation process. This was for us to try to say, how can we do better? How can we get more intentional, maybe, about getting people involved? How do we invite? Because God is an inviting God, right? And so He doesn't, like, make us do things, but He's always giving us opportunities to do things. And so we talked a lot about that. One of the things that came out of that, oh, man, are these sexy or what? If you haven't gotten one of these, it's got our little logo, Two Steps Closer. It's got the whitewaterchristian.com. Thank you, Tanya Engel, for your invaluable assistance on this, because you should have seen what I came up with. Not good. So anyway, I'm particularly, like, this was my dream a little bit. I did a lot of research on these, and I'm so stoked to have this. So I don't know. They'll make fun of me for that. They've been making fun of me at the God Dreams team meetings for that. And then defining our DNA. Well, who are we? Like, how do we define ourselves? So I want to talk first a little bit about that with you. When you think of Whitewater, and I'm going to ask you to put on your outdoor voices, when you think of Whitewater, what do you think of? What do you think is our DNA?
Being bold.
Community. You guys get cookies for that. Two steps. Appealing to those that are unchurched. Transparency. Helping those in need. Community service. Dusting ourselves off and working to get better. Anything else? I'll tell you what we came up with, which I believe is pretty representative of what you guys just said. Inclusiveness. Inclusiveness, and here's how we defined inclusiveness, or how God defined it for us. Whitewater is an open and diverse community where you can belong before you believe. The left out ones are not left out here. This is not just a Sunday morning thing, it is how we live our lives. All who are willing to chase after Jesus are welcome. Love. We love God and others through our compassionate actions toward each other and the world around us, loving one another in the same way Jesus loves us. Transparent authenticity. We practice honesty in our relationships with God and each other through open sharing of our strengths and weaknesses as we grow in Christ together. Generosity. We live with an open hand individually and collectively. We sacrificially share our time, energy, possessions, and money with those inside and outside the church. Spirit-led biblical obedience. We regard Scripture as the foundation of truth, capital T, and embrace the necessity of the Holy Spirit's guidance in understanding and living out these truths. Spiritual formation. We participate in the process of God's redemption in our own lives. We participate in the process of God's redemption in our own lives. We experience the rich, abundant life of Jesus in increasing measure as we grow into who God made us to be. We do this by practicing spiritual disciplines, including, but not limited to, Bible reading, prayer, fasting, solitude, and authentic engagement in community with other disciples. So what do you think? Think that captures us? I know, right? So that is what we value and who we believe God made us to be. Lost my place. Hold on. So through the initiatives that we have been practicing, we set these short-term goals. And recently we had kind of a one-year, where are we at one-year meeting. And the biggest benchmark for us is people getting out of the boat. How is that going? How are we as members of this team doing with that? I will tell you that I really feel like God has engineered this process in my own life, And I approach this as not one who has it figured out, but as one who is moving through this process with you. And I will tell you that as I attempt to get out of the boat, I need people out on the waves with me, because I need people that encourage me to, like, fearlessly or with fear, I guess fearfully a lot of times, get out of the boat, leave the comfort and the safety that I perceive is in the boat. So we do that for each other. That's part of the whole idea, is that we will individually do this, and that collectively as a body of believers we will do this. And one of the things I was realizing is there's more at stake than just me. If I refuse to get out of the boat, I am not out there with you guys. And if you're not out there on the waves, you're not there for me either. And so there's this way that we can create this culture of really taking God at his word and living out his dream for our lives. All of this is under God's vision casting. The other thing that I've been realizing is that God, if I start to look at, this is the Bible, if I start to look at this rather than a set of instructions or something that I can feel condemned or like study in a very theoretical way, I'm missing the boat. Whoa, did you see what I did there? I started to look at this as God's vision. So when I read things like, hey, bear with one another, pray for one another, I see them less as commands and more like vision. Like, here's what my kingdom is going to look like. Here's what it's going to look like to live in the kingdom of the heavens. And so I start to see when I read scripture, it comes more alive for me, because I start to see that God is cheerleading us through scripture and through each other. So at our last meeting, going forward now from 80% of us getting out of the boat, or thinking, getting pretty close to getting out of the boat. The other thing, I just wanted to mention one more thing about the boat, because I've been like fascinated by the whole imagery of getting out of the boat and what that means. One of the things that I have done, one of my barriers, is that I put conditions on getting out of the boat. I say, well, God, I'll do this very brave, cool thing after, when I stop being fearful. Or I'm going to do this very cool thing that you're calling me to do when I'm healed from this tragic event or this trauma or this lifelong history of failure. Or I will get out of the boat when I get that dream job. I'll get out of the boat when the kids leave the house. I'll get out of the boat when. And so this like delaying of getting out of the boat. And a lot of mine is related to fear. Once I'm brave enough, I'll get out of the boat. And what I started to realize is that actually getting out of the boat is the vehicle that God wants to use to achieve that thing. And so I don't get to not have fear when I get out, before I get out of the boat. I get out of the boat, and then I realize that, oh, my fear is dissipating. Like, God is trustworthy in what he's calling me to. And so this delaying and this whatever, for me, it's like, sometimes it's like a little shrugging of God off when he puts something in my heart or my head. Hey, call this person or do this thing or sign up for this service or whatever it is. Sometimes it's a little shrugging off again and again. Sometimes it's a knockdown, drag out brawl. And I've had one of those for a couple weeks, and I'll tell you about that a little later, in a couple minutes, because it's almost over. So, I promise. So, where are we now, and what are you going to see? The cool thing is, the things you've been seeing, you might not have realized, are very intentional. They're part of our 90-day initiatives that have been going on for the last year. Our next set of initiatives are to begin to offer the Engage class. The curriculum that was about, that I think Adam and Craig maybe presented, that was the new to Whitewater or new to Christianity, it's going to be like a 4-week curriculum that was presented as a sermon series. Well, we're going to now start to put that into place and offer it as like a four-week class for people ongoingly, maybe throughout the year. Maybe we'll offer it, we don't know all of the details yet. Maybe we'll offer it twice a year, maybe four times a year. But it'll be a way to let people know, basically, who are we? What is Christianity? Who is God? What's the Bible? Kind of some very basic information about our core beliefs and values. So we're going to start offering that class coming up, hopefully, within the next 90 days. We've also done a great deal of work based on some of the defining things we've done, our DNA, clarifying our mission, that sort of thing. We're working on any material, our written materials and our website. So probably, hopefully, in the next 90 days, you will see changes to the website. We don't know exactly what that looks like. It may be a total revamp, or it may just be a changing and a refining. But you're going to see some changes to the website, hopefully. God willing. I say all of this, God willing. We are continuing to talk about service. Service is a huge area of blessing. You see that there are new members of the worship team. You see that people are stepping up. I'm amazed at the people who are saying, hey, let me help out. I can do this. I can do this one thing. I can make coffee. I can set up the stuff on Sunday morning. I can help put things away. Don't limit it to what we already have. At the church we were at in Wisconsin, we had people who, like somebody would just have some kind of vision that was, I'm sure, divinely inspired. But there's this one woman who said, you know what? I have a heart for people who are like lonely or who are sick, who are like left out, or maybe they can't get to church. She said, I want to start this ministry where I send greeting cards, like get well cards, greeting cards, any kind of cards. And so basically the church, I don't even know if she had the church buy them, just bought a whole bunch of greeting cards, blank cards or cards with messages already on them. And she just took it upon herself to just either sometimes people would let her know about things or God would let her know about things, and she would just send a card to somebody. It can be that simple. I know that this is already happening because I've been hearing even within the last week of people coming forward saying, hey, I want to help up. Here's my dream. Here's my thing. Here's what I had an idea for. Sometimes when we get so like in a box and we don't even realize God is speaking to us. So be attentive to those kinds of thoughts if God is bringing them to you. And then come to talk to Adam or Craig or the church, the elders, or anybody. Like, get the ball rolling. One of the other things that we feel very convicted about and really is very important to us, partly because we exist individually and collectively for God's glory, and we get to participate in his plan of transformation for people. So one of the things that we talked about at our last meeting was a refocus on outreach and evangelism as central to God's heart for people to know and love him as a primary purpose for the existence of all Christian churches. So you may see this coming up in things that we talk about. We may have some outreach events. We talked about one of the things that was an invitation Sunday, where we're going to open up a Sunday very shortly to have you invite people from your outside lives, your real life, or whatever we call it, from people maybe from your job, from your school, from people you run into frequently. Just a kind of an invitation Sunday to have people come to. We're going to be talking about, and there may be a sermon series about how to talk about your faith with people in a very comfortable and natural way. One of the things I've been realizing, and we all have it, I have baggage. I got baggage about evangelism. Some of it's probably self-induced baggage because I was a non-believer for most of my life. And I was very cynical toward people who would try to share their faith with me. I was very unkind toward people who would share their faith with me. And so this whole thing about, I just want to get people to believe in Jesus, like I have to go out and market God to people, or like it's a Jesus is a product that's going to make your life better. And I still have an aversion to that kind of evangelism. But what I'm realizing is I'm so stoked about transformation because, you know, we could be technically saved, meaning we can believe in Jesus for our salvation and that it's not through works and that it was God's idea to do this for us and it's by no merit of our own. Okay, there's that very basic foundational belief, but that belief does not in itself produce transformation. I get stoked about transformation, and what I realize is God's heart is for transformation. He wants us to experience peace and joy and hope in Him, and part of it is we get to like bring that. That's His desire for the whole world, and that's really what we're all about. And so if you talk about evangelism like that, I can totally get behind it. Like, I'm all about talking about growth and all of that stuff. Maybe sometimes too much. But the whole point is that each of us have hopefully experienced transformation. And if we have experienced transformation at the hand of God, then we have the ability to talk to other people about what that looks like and the hope that that gives them. So anyway, don't want to let too much of the cat out of the bag. So, anyway, getting back to our 1 year. I want to invite people to continually get out of the boat, because the other thing I realize is it's not a one and done. None of this is, well, I got out of the boat once. Like, somebody said one time, if all your weird God stories are in the past, you know, like 10 years ago, then you may want to examine, like, your relationship and how you're interacting with God today. If I'm always hearkening back to this one story where I experienced this really cool thing with God, it was amazing 20 years ago. Like, I want us to all have those stories all the time, and I know for some of us that is happening, where we're just in this huge process of transformation, and God is active in our lives. And I feel like when I ask people, I don't want to ask you, how are you today? I want to ask you, what's God doing in your life today? Like, what's happening with you and God? And so I think that, again, that if you haven't gotten out of the boat yet, don't be discouraged by that. Don't feel like a failure. Don't feel like, it can't happen for me. Because one of the things that God tells us is His mercies are new every morning. Every day we get a clean slate. Every day could be the day that something different happens for us, that we make a different choice. God continually gives us opportunities to make a different choice. And I'll give you, so I had a confession this morning. This morning I confessed here's what it looks like for me. I am in school again, which I have very mixed feelings about. But I'm not going to complain about God behind his back, because we were joking about that in Death Wishes yesterday. Every time I complain about what God makes me do, like behind his back, duh. So, but I do have mixed feelings about it. I feel like it's an act of obedience, and the yes that took in my heart has opened up a whole bunch of yeses for me and has really propelled me forward. So I don't like school much, honestly. And so there's, especially with things like macroeconomics and microeconomics, like, I'm sorry, it's really dull. And so I'm trying to power through. And so this past couple weeks, I've been powering through. And God's been saying, hey, I want you to go visit this person. No, I gotta power through. I'm doing what you told me. You told me to go back to school. I'm doing school. I want you to send an email to this person. I want you to reach out to this person. No, I don't have time. I don't have time. I'm doing school. You told me to do school. Every day. Seriously, every day. No, I really want you to reach out to this person. No. This is like how I interact with God. No! I'm like Napoleon Dynamite. So finally, it's been eating at me, and my reaction has been, I know that I'm not right with God. Like, I know it. So this morning, before we came here, I was in prayer, and I was just like, oh, you have to confess this. No! You have to confess this. You have to confess it so you can be free of it and you can move on. No, I don't want to confess because then I am a failure. Like, I look like a failure, and then everybody knows I'm a failure. So I confessed it, and all of a sudden, like, is it just me? But it's God. That's all it is. Because I feel like now I confessed this, and I confessed that I was more concerned with my own priorities than with God's kingdom. And that is really the ultimate Matthew 6 moment for me. Like, don't be concerned about the world and what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, how much you're going to study, when you're going to take your final exam. Don't be worried about that stuff. If I tell you to do something, be concerned with what I'm concerned with. God is concerned about this other person. And if I'm shrugging him off, then I'm shrugging off really the purpose for my life. And so I say that to say, I hope that someone will hold me accountable, because I've committed to myself today to do that, to reach out to that person, to not keep shrugging God off. And I've also committed to not being so focused on what I want when he asks me to do something. So that's my confession for the day. You're welcome. It might be too much information. So I guess I will conclude by just saying it's never too late. God is a God of second, third, fourth, and fifth chances, and 7 times 70 chances. And if you aren't out of the boat yet, you can go there at any time. And all of us here would be happy to do that with you, to get you there, to get us all there, because we all need that from each other. Let's pray. God, you are the vision caster for our lives. And I pray that any gaps I left today, you will fill in. And that people will forget anything that you didn't intend them to remember. God, help us to move forward as you have decided we would move forward. Help us to live out the dream you have for us, individually and as a church family. Please help us to think beyond ourselves, to think beyond where we have been before. Help us to live in the adventure of life lived in your kingdom with you. In Jesus' name, amen. The end.